All right. Thank you for joining us at another Scoliosis Research Society podcast. Today is a special feature discussing fellowships in spine surgery and deformity surgery and looking ahead to what the future of those fellowships look like. We have three guests joining us tonight: Richard Manger from South Alabama, Melissa Erickson from Duke University, and Amir Sandani from Shriners in Philadelphia. So maybe go around and introduce themselves quickly and go over your background and your view of fellowships, and then hopefully have dialogue and get on and get some of our viewerships to listen to. Want to start with Rich?
Sure. Yeah. Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate being on here with everybody. So I'm Rich Manger. At the University of South Alabama, a neurosurgeon by training. I did infolded fellowship in neurosurgery spine at our Shriners in Louisiana and Shreveport, and then proceeded with orthopedic spinal deformity, so the advanced pediatric spinal deformity fellowship at Columbia with Dr. Lanky and Dr. Vitale. So just an incredible experience, but wanted the breadth of sort of both the neurosurgery and the orthopedic experience, and wanted to grow a specific type of practice. So really enjoyed that experience, and thanks again for inviting me to talk today.
Very good. Melissa?
Thanks, Jeff, for having me. So Melissa Erickson, currently on staff at Duke University, did the orthopedic surgery residency here and then a spine fellowship at Mayo Clinic in Minnesota. I've been back on staff and actually have the privilege of training both orthopedic surgeons and neurosurgeons as the co-fellowship director of a combined program here at Duke. I'm so excited to hear what others have to say and share our process here.
And Dr. Sandani.
So Amir Sandani, trained as a neurosurgeon and joined the Philadelphia Shriners staff back in 2005. And back then, was really one of the few neurosurgeons that was involved in pediatric spine deformity. And since then, we've really made it a passion of ours to try to get more neurosurgeons to be trained in this space. Currently, we train four fellows a year, each of which spends 6 months with us. And we make it a point to have two orthopedic fellows and two neurosurgical fellows to really make sure that we can get the best from both worlds incorporated into our fellowship. And that's also reflected in our current staff right now. We have four pediatric spine deformity surgeons, two of whom are neurosurgeons, myself and Dr. Stephen Wang, and two of whom are orthopedic surgeons, Dr. Josh Pays and Terry Ishmael.
And I guess maybe we'll start with the first comment there. As a fellowship director or leader training both orthopedic residents and neurosurgery residents, how do you tailor your sort of pedagogy to that experience early on in the fellowship and throughout the fellowship?
Yeah, a great point. So what we find is in the end, at the end of 6 months, whether you're from ortho or from neuro, you're going to end up in a very similar spot with respect to training and aptitude. But early on, we do find that for the neurosurgeons, we're more focused in on overall spinal balance, you know, understanding concepts of correction such as translation and derotation. Whereas for the orthopedic surgeons, we find, again, everybody ends up in a similar spot. We find getting them more comfortable around the dura, whether it's through our three-column osteotomies or when we have a CSF leak and how to handle that, ends up being an area that we spend a little bit more time on. But whatever track that we take, after a few months, we find that things end up equalizing.
Dr. Erickson, do you have a similar experience with your leadership role in the combined program?
We do, actually. It's always interesting because I think that there is some friendly competition, so is probably the nicest way I could say it, that very similar findings that sometimes we'll see a difference in terms of like number of reps that the residents or early fellows come in with. So a comfort around the dura, but likewise, just understanding different concepts of, you know, stability and the constructs themselves, definitely see a difference in that thought process. But by the end of the year, I think that we're graduating people from fellowship going into very equitable jobs and capacities.
I guess just going around the horn, Rich, from your standpoint, having gone through two distinct types of fellowships, was there, you know, something where you felt you're behind when you started your ortho-focused one, or how do you feel nurses help you for that?
Yeah, so, you know, at Columbia at the time, it was a total of five fellows, and it definitely crossed the breadth of both neurosurgery trained, you know, fellows and orthopedic fellows. I think Just the tutelage, especially in the pediatric domain, and understanding sort of the complex nature of some different pediatric disorders that present with some spine pathology. It was definitely a learning curve, on the neurosurgery spectrum. But in terms of reps of cases and sort of mechanics of doing spine surgery, I think neurosurgery, was definitely something that sort of aided in comfort with that. But I think again, it's both benefits and opportunities in both ways. So definitely learn from both perspectives.
Yeah, I think we're all on the same page there. I think at the end, a spine surgeon is a spine surgeon, but there's constant learning going on, right? Even in my experience, so I did residency at the Cleveland Clinic, in which we had a spine center, in which I worked with orthopedic attendings just at times and neurosurgery attendings at times. And then when my fellowship, I worked with my mentor. He's trained in both. And there's eventually get there, but there's definitely learning going on, right? So I remember some bone health issues, which we don't talk about as much in the neurosurgery world as opposed to orthopedics, is something I'm still learning. And hip pathology, there's always learning going on. So, do you guys think there's a better way to cross over in this in terms of, I don't know, getting the orthopods more dural work or neuro related work, or the getting the neurosurgeons more of the carpentry of it, rather than just the sheer reps?
So I can go ahead and kick that off. It feels like if I was to just look at it from a really high vantage point, that perhaps if there were residents that were interested in the spine, there'd be more opportunity to focus in on that area earlier on rather than getting as many months of a broad education. I still feel that a broad education is important, but perhaps you can cut down on some of those months and utilize that time to hone in on the spine and perhaps learn in the areas that you may be deficient, that the residency program may be deficient in. So from the orthopedic side, they can get more reps in the spine and also get more comfortable working around the dura in combination with their neurosurgical colleagues. And on the neurosurgery side, really understanding overall, bone healing, understanding constructs and stability and balance. You can spend some of that time learning that from our orthopedic colleagues.
And Richard, Melissa, any comments on that?
It's interesting. I had a neurosurgery fellow who just came off of my service, and their comment to me was, I actually really see the benefit of doing clinic. And this is something I tend to see with a lot of the neurosurgery fellows who come through, that they have such a really heavy operative experience during their residency, with the volumes being so incredibly high. And after they do clinic, their comment is, well, it's very easy for me to preoperatively read your clinic note and understand the plan. But when you ask me to tell me what the plan is when I'm in clinic with you, that whole thought process of understanding the indications and being able to tell you why it's not the hip or whether it is, I could see why it would be beneficial to do more clinic during residency. And I think that that's like the nice trade-off that you'd be able to identify. If somebody is saying, hey, I want to do spine and I want to be very comfortable with that, just getting that kind of knowledge-based foundation early on, as opposed to thinking it's all about just numbers and reps in the OR. And so I think that that's a huge value. The interesting comment that the fellow said was like, it's probably not going to be super beneficial as a junior resident in neurosurgery. And the thing that I challenged this fellow was, well, but think about how many people don't necessarily go off to do an unfolded fellowship or an extra fellowship afterwards, but they still continue to do spine because they consider it bread and butter, right? Like, I think that's where it's valuable, right? That you still need to have that foundational knowledge to make sure that you're doing indicated procedures, you're treating the right pathology, and that opportunity to learn that, I think, absolutely. Figuring that out on the front end.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I think the difference is for a lot of the neurosurgeons think bread and butter spine, whereas not many orthopedic surgeons are out there doing bread and butter spine without the advanced training. So I think there's probably some opportunities there for to learn from both sides of what's the best way to go about doing things here. Maybe we'll just switch gears a little bit since we have some people who are selecting fellows and talk about that process a little bit, because another big divide between neurosurgery and orthopedics is neurosurgery doesn't have a match process. So it's sort of just go around, interview, and get offered and accepted and go, versus the Orthopedic World has their match. Rich, did you went through both of those? Any pluses and minuses you saw there?
Yeah, definitely, Jeff. So, I mean, for a neurosurgeon, a lot of the top, spine fellowships or fellowships in general will fill early, and sort of that crept into like PGY 4 year, at times for locking in a certain fellowship. And obviously a lot of, just sort of institutional changes and different things can happen in that, 3 or 4 year block. But to put your faith into the orthopedic match or into, a specialized orthopedic fellowship puts the neurosurgeon at a PGY 6 year. So there's definitely some, sort of tactical approach to that at the reality level of, making sure you match into a fellowship that you want. I had extraordinarily positive, interactions during my orthopedic, interviews and sort of, the engagement with that, but it's definitely just a different, approach to doing things. And some neurosurgery fellowships, pediatrics, traditional pediatrics comes to mind that they, enter that same match process. Just the spine for neurosurgery is not quite, at that development. So it's definitely a factor in sort of how you sort of attack the tactics of the system.
So how about on the other side of the table where you're offering those fellowships? Doesn't know you're not in a match, correct?
So we have actually two tracks. We have one track that's outside of the match, which, much like Rich said, will often get neurosurgeons who are interested in learning more about deformity. They're 2 6-month blocks. And then we have a combined program with the University of Pennsylvania
Okay.
on the adult side, where we'll often end up getting two orthopedic surgeons, although there have been neurosurgeons that have come through the combined program as well.
Which that puts you in a hard position as a neurosurgery applicant, right? Because as Rich said, you could have had an offer 3 years earlier and sitting waiting as opposed to putting your trust and going through the match. And that can be a scary process, as some of us saw this past week during match day. There's some people very happy, some people aren't very happy.
You're absolutely right, Jeff.
Good discussion so far. I guess if in an ideal world, how would you change fellowship for spine surgeons, Dr. Erickson? Would you keep it as is or keep a separate pathway, something different? What would you, how would you make things better if you were in charge of training all spine surgeons?
I mean, I think what we're doing is we have our fellows, whether they come up the ortho pathway or the neurosurgery pathway, they rotate with both orthopedic surgeons and neurosurgeons. We have combined indications conference and morbidity mortality. So you really do get that full breadth of experiencing both sides. I think the thing for us that gets a little difficult, just because I think that when you're looking at fellowship, you want to hit that balance of making sure that they're not taking away from the resident experience, but at the same time that they're really maximizing their last opportunity to train before they go out to be independent practitioners. And I think that ideally, I would say whether you're coming up the ortho way or the neurosurgery way, to either everyone does the same match or that same process so that you're not trying to figure out where one group is extremely stressed out and they're doing it on a very different timeline compared to another group. We have the additional variable of many of our neurosurgery residents choose to do an enfolded fellowship. And so that PGY 7 year, if all three of our chiefs are deciding to do spine, that really kind of changes our total number of fellows in the pool. And then that can have the downstream effect of now trying to find that balance with the residents of are they still getting the numbers in that they need to get in, et cetera. So I would want it to just be a more streamlined process from a like logistics standpoint. But ideally, I think you should work with both sides because I think there's something to be learned on both sides.
And you mentioned the breadth. One thing I wonder about in terms of training is typically only a year, and there's so much to learn from just the surgical technique, clinical management, but also we have research expectations, and there's other things too. Any benefit you think of working with other services, whether it be pain management or orthopedic hip doctor or endocrinologist?
I don't know about doing a full service or a lot of hours during that with other services because, the reality is it's probably something that it's you can integrate it into the didactic lectures that you have. So making sure that you have those specialties come in and be part of the education process so that's there to integrate. But I don't know that doing like a full rotation with them, it does help understand like why you send people for very specific injections that you're trying to target for diagnostic and prognostic purposes. But I don't know that I want my fellow having to spend like a full 2 weeks or 4 weeks with physiatry or interventional radiology. But absolutely, those concepts are important to learn at some point during your training.
Actually, they're peds partners over here. Anything you guys think would be different from that, your guys' training or in your ideal world? How would you make it better from what you've gone through to now to your practicing? How would it be the best suit you?
Yeah, so I can kick it off. I think Dr. Erickson makes some great points about streamlining the process, having consistency between the ortho and the neuro side. I agree 100%. Having didactic exposure to some of our other partners, whether it's on the hip side, whether it's on the physiatry triad spinal side or the spinal cord injury side, is important, but likely just through the didactic aspect. I do feel whenever a program can accommodate, what would be ideal is there has to be a certain base of learning that has to occur. But if a program can accommodate individualizing the experience, you know, there may be some of our fellows that say, you know what, I am going to go into private practice or in down this certain road, and we can accommodate that and really focus their education on what's going to suit their needs for the future. Whereas others may say, you know, I really love deformity. I am going to do deformity, pediatric, adult. And maybe tailoring that, having some elective time would be very beneficial because they're taking a whole year out of their life where they can be earning money, spending more time with their families. And we'd want to really try to optimize that experience for them.
All right.
I really think those are like outstanding, you know, points. And I think, you know, we're where we are. So we're neurosurgery, right? We have ortho residents that rotate with us for spine. We have a pre-residency neurosurgery, you know, fellow on our spine service, right? And, you know, so one thing I think that neurosurgery allows and seeing sort of the two different pedigrees is, like Dr. Sandani is alluding to, is there's a lot more time in the elective space to tailor what you want to do, even leading up to residency. I see the orthopedic, you know, is very rotation driven and very, very, you know, sort of locked in into where they're going to be, whether that's joints, trauma, peds, or so on. And neurosurgery, there's a little bit more sort of, you know, maneuverability to specialize. And I think that bleeds over into the fellowship sort of structure where, you know, there's definitely a difference between I'm going to be a private practice MIS degenerative surgeon, or I'm going to be a deformity surgeon, and lumping that into spine is very sort of, you know, varying in terms of what that experience, exposure at that comfort level, and so on will be. So I think finding some way to sort of better almost, you know, track the subspecialty sort of you know, direction of people is probably, you know, where things will maybe tilt a little bit more in the future if I was just kind of forecast what things may look like.
All right. Well, believe it or not, we're kind of running out of time already. So I thank all three of you for joining us and having an interesting discussion. Maybe anybody have any last shots they want to make? No? All right. Well, thank you guys again. This has been an interesting discussion. Hopefully, we have it again next year and as part of the series and talk about more, maybe what the future is going to hold for spine fellowships, focusing on more deformity, which all three of us or four of us are practicing. Until next time, have a great day, and thanks again for joining the Scoliosis Research Society podcast.